Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Here we go, hour three, G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan, and thanks for making us part of your day. We got Jared Sandler coming up here in 20 minutes. Tomorrow at this time will be in the final couple innings of Rangers baseball, and hopefully they're looking for the series victory, but they got to win tonight after falling last night 5-3. We'll be having the pregame for you coming up at 6 o'clock. Time now to talk hoop, though. And here's Chief with your rim session.
Yes, sir. Let's go ahead and cut the lights out. We'll put the kids down for that afternoon snoozer, and the G-Bag Nation goes all 56 inches around that rim. It's always a special occasion when ABC and ESPN delivers the largest NBA Finals Game 3 audience since 1998. 23.8 Ooh. Million viewers for game number 3. It peaked at over 26 million, and the basketball world is appreciating the fact that the Knicks are there. And I guess the Wemby factor, you know, those two storylines colliding is bringing eyeballs to the television.
Biggest audience since 98?
Since 98.
Wow. The final year of Jordan's second three-peat is what we're looking at.
Yeah.
And I think my question there would be, do you think the league looks at this as evidence as, see, we don't have to have supercharged dynasties? We can spread the wealth. Now we got New York in this thing, and it's every bit as popular as Jordan going for number 6.
I'm sure that's how they would spin it. I mean, this is a Knicks thing for sure.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, it's
And a Wemby thing. I've watched more playoffs this year than I have in a while. In a long time, probably.
Most of that's Wemby?
I feel like yes. I want to be plugged into the whole thing.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, you want to get in as it starts.
Yeah.
And we'll see where this Wemby phenomenon goes. But, yeah, I think the Knicks factor is huge here. It's a plus 160% year over year. So it's like, well, wow. What about last year, bro?
Yeah.
What about last year?
Now, more
granted,
than double?
Yeah. I mean, it's different when you have Pacers and Thunder.
Yeah.
It's a different stratosphere when you start talking about the Knicks. And then a Spurs franchise that has been in the basketball lexicon for a long time. Whereas the Thunder, you know, maybe not quite as long, even though they've had a pretty storied franchise for it being as short of an existence.
I mean,
there's
a lot of people in Texas, if you're not a Rockets fan by birth or a Mavs fan by birth, if you're just randomly somewhere else, a lot of chances that you're a Spurs fan. Run into Spurs fans constantly because my wife's family is from East Texas. Spurs land.
Is it?
Annoying.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, they were the Mavs were bad in the 90s. The Spurs started taking off in the 90s. So I totally get that. But how about this for a stat of the day I saw from a gentleman named Sean Grande.
Big Sean.
The Mets and Yankees lost 37 games in the 46 days between Knicks playoff losses.
Wow.
Wow.
The Mets lost 20 and the Yankees lost 17. A combined 37 games lost for the New York baseball teams in the 46 days between Knicks playoff losses. Maybe that's part of the reason for the crash outs of the Knicks fans. You know, one, they paid astronomical money to go watch their team lose. You know, that's going to absolutely tick you off as you're walking out of that building and you're seeing cocky Spurs fans. But also, they haven't had to stomach a loss in close to 50 days.
Yeah,
they
shocking.
They couldn't act like they'd been there before.
They were in a spot where they couldn't imagine losing. You know,
yeah, that's where they were at.
The Knicks and four stuff. Do you think
it was Knicks and four? Now it's Knicks and six.
Yeah. Keep changing
Knicks
it.
And six,
I love it.
Do you think they waited for Spurs fans to actually taunt them before assaulting them?
No, no.
I don't. Walk out of that place if you're a Spurs fan.
It's just a Spurs fan walking
ahead.
You know, standing
so
a little
ridiculous.
Bit taller.
Just don't say
maybe
a
smile,
word.
An S-eating grin, and that was enough for hundreds of Knicks fans. Dude, I mean, you're watching guys get derobed. I watch a guy with a Spurs jersey on. Just it got completely ripped off his body, completely tore up. So
I see two dudes, two Spurs fans. The cops are even telling him, "Hey, man, I wouldn't go that way, bro.
Yeah,
it's not worth it." No. And then you see some clips later of them running.
Yeah. Could you imagine the panic
chasing them?
Oh my gosh!
Yeah. One of these kids is bound to be fast. You better have your running shoes on. Mm. You're looking for like open businesses that you can run into.
Yeah. Well, I don't think they would care.
No, just go help.
Get him. He's in here.
We got him.
Yeah, we'll barricade him.
You're trying to hail taxis.
Lock the door.
They run over.
You are in absolute enemy territory. Jeez. Like no one's helping you.
It's not even worth it for the price of those tickets.
Don't wear the gear.
Hell no.
No. Can't wear the gear.
Don't wear the gear.
You think San Antonio fans return the favor?
No.
They're not as mean and disgusting people.
I don't think those Knicks fans would act like that down there in San Antonio because Texas is a little bit different.
Mm. Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. We'll just pull out a rifle.
I'll be right back.
Get a rope.
And you saw after game one, I mean, all the Knicks fans that were there, and there's a pretty good contingency of Knicks fans in San Antonio for the first couple of games.
Yeah.
And they congregate in the concourse after the game, and they're having their celebrations. Spurs fans aren't running up on them.
Right. Yeah.
Man, if New York wins tonight and I'm a Spurs fan that likes to fight, I think I'm getting my three best fighters together. And we're going to go down there and meet out some payback.
I did like the text that came in earlier, like John Jones should walk around New York in a Spurs jersey. Some of the baddest men on the planet. They just rock the Spurs jersey and just, all right, let's go.
I think they'd still get you like 50-1, you know?
Yeah.
They'd 20-1 you. It doesn't matter how awesome you are at fighting. But back at least on home soil, you could get your lick back on social media, post that. Be like, hey, you know, you might have had your fun, but.
50-1 has to be at the same time.
Yeah. Same time.
For okay? John Jones. Because once I see the first two guys fly off like some fools, I'm like, I don't know.
I'm about to say at least four or five of those dudes are going to regret
it's like bully beatdown.
Ever having run up on
you.
Man.
So what arm you do bars. Is the plan would be then to like walk back to the hotel and knock the doorman out. That's what I think I would do. You know, like you kind of walk around.
Geez.
And then like, boom, hit the doorman, drop him, and then get into the hotel.
Doorman.
Knock the doorman out at the hotel.
Well, Knicks fans are pulling out all the stops right now to try and summon victory in Game 4. There was a séance taking place. It was like a psychic chick. Okay?
They're like
they said they were going to sage that place down.
They did. They absolutely did. It was an award-winning psychic medium, Bianca Rose, traveled from Long Island,
Panda Lady.
Armed with tarot cards.
She's doing halftime.
A red panda.
Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from Puck examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
A Ouija board, a spirit portal, and a silver bell to the Midtown Stadium to give the orange and blue some extra luck as the team heads into game 4 tonight. The Ghost Whisperer stood outside the garden, repeatedly rang a small silver bell with her eyes shut as she gently whispered a chant, summoning Willis Reed. While wearing headphones connected to a specialized spirit portal used to speak with the dead.
Damn.
This is a psychotic,
that's next level,
demonic situation that is taking place here outside of Madison Square Garden. She said she was successful in contacting the late center, who was famously shrugged off a thigh injury to take the court in Game 7 of the 1970 NBA Finals. The Knicks win that. Reed was known simply as the captain. He died in 2023 at age 80, leaving behind a legacy as the heart and soul of New York's most recent NBA championship teams. And so she added that she repeatedly saw the number 6, possibly alluding to the number of games it would take to decide the NBA Finals series.
Knicks and 6.
I see the number 6.
I see a 7 in San Antonio. I see Brunson missing shots at the end.
This is insane, dude. One fan who watched the seance told the New York Post it was much needed after the Game 3 loss. Quote, we need this. I'm feeling good going into Game 4 now, he said about the cleansing. And they did some saging and things of that nature. I mean, just ridiculous, these Spurs fans. Now, on the other end of the ridiculous spectrum, did you see the Ramona Shelburne story in ESPN about Wemby?
Oh, I thought it was about she's walking around with two sprained ankles.
She is?
Yeah, she's hobbling around. That was on the McAfee. I guess she flew home. She's got a three-year-old kiddo. And for the birthday party, she had to fly back. Then she flew back to New York to cover the finals. And the kid was going to fall. She was holding the kid, tripped, and then sprained one ankle. And to stop the child from like falling on its head, caught him, and then sprained the other ankle. So
it's Mama Bear right
pretty
there.
Pretty incredible story. But now she, yeah, she's basically, wow. She got like two boots walking around there. It's working hurt.
Okay. She writes, thousands of people passed through the hallways from the San Antonio Spurs locker room to the interview room of Madison Square Garden, where on Monday night, Victor Wembanyama reflected on the first NBA Finals win of his young career. Every one of them was wearing shoes, except for Wemby. These were his first steps as a winner in the finals, and he wanted to feel them with his bare feet.
Oh, gross.
Quote, he always likes to walk barefoot so he can really feel the ground, his longtime agent said as he stood outside the news conference room. It's how he connects, he says. Now, a Spurs staffer had some slides for him if you wanted to wear them. What size are Wemby's slides?
He wears a 17, I believe.
Okay, we got a number higher. 17 here. Can we go more?
19.
Can we go more? We got a 19.
That's a 22.
Yeah, where's Shaq at?
He might like be 20. A 20. This guy might be a 20.
I'm thinking a dub, too.
Yeah.
20.
That's my
19
Lucius
to 20,
is right.
Bro.
Lucius is right.
Size 21 slide.
Long-ass slide.
21?
That's a sled.
Yeah, bro. You could go snowboarding on his shoes.
Mm.
So that's how Wemby likes to soak it in. He wants to feel the hardwood of MSG.
Is that the grounding stuff that some of the baseball players are doing, you think, kind of?
Well, it's
you got to be in the ground.
Yeah, you got to be touching the actual earth. So he's taking it to another extreme, which is probably making him a little bit more annoying. It's like you want to walk barefoot on the hardwood to feel the floor the first time you won an NBA Finals game. I don't know. Listen, if it works for him, kudos. But that's how Wemby likes to celebrate. He is becoming the villain in New York. He was asked about that, and this is how Wemby responded.
You may be New York's newest villain. Is that kind of the ultimate compliment?
I guess I'm nowhere near Trae Young level, though.
Even he knows.
I thought that was a good response. Now, Greg Popovich, speaking of pulling out all the stops, Greg Popovich boarded the Spurs flight to New York to deliver a passionate rallying cry before Game 3, according to Sam Amick.
Okay, well, now it's making more sense.
Then he spent 10 minutes addressing the entire team and then 20 more minutes speaking individually with players while sitting next to Wemby. Okay? Now, you also have the quote from Wemby's agent that he will never endorse soda companies. Quote, they all want him, but Victor will never sell soda because he doesn't want to kill the kids. That is an exact quote here.
Wow.
And it's like, dude, Coke Zero? Diet Coke? I don't think you're killing the kids with that. I don't think you are. Now,
yeah, Diet Coke and the cancer.
Your kids drink Coke?
I mean, you're making
they
a lot of
not.
Assumptions about the rest of my diet.
My kids do yeah. not, but they're also like 4 and 5 and 6 years old. Maybe at 12,
the
they could crack a Coke Zero pop.
Little sippy poo?
No, it's just the Coke Zero has entered our world a little bit, but we usually just steal them from my parents' fridge. Mm. We haven't actually purchased them and put them in our own.
Mm.
Now, Kurt Goldsberry with a stat here. He's fantastic. Jalen Brunson has dribbled. It's just like the ISO factor of him and how like the ball movement was nowhere to be found for the Knicks. Mike Brown talked about it after the game. And just so much of Jalen Brunson's game right now is just him dribbling the ball. So he's dribbled the ball almost 1,600 times across the three games. Stephon Castle is second in the series with 813 dribbles.
Wow.
So it's just too much of Jalen Brunson get the ball and just dribble it out and try and figure something out without the cohesive offense working together. And Jalen Brunson, I think it's been proven at this point. He cannot just go one-on-one with Castle or Harper, especially with the lurking Wemby factor.
Yeah.
So how they get him going, I don't know. I mean, he's a great tough shot maker, and on any given night, even if they're bad looks, he can put him down. And maybe it's just enough like it was in the first game or two where it's, hey, it's volume shooting, but when it matters most, he will knock down the tough shot. Yeah. So is Karl Anthony Towns going to be the bread and butter for their offense? Their role players have done a nice job stepping up sort of randomly here. It's OG Anunoby. It's Josh Hart. I think Shamet could have a really nice game. He had an awful game the
it's
other
the
night.
It's the Landry night,
he's
baby.
He's been locked in. Mikal Bridges had a night. So they're going to have to find a way to muster
but
up some
offense.
But
they don't have other creators.
No,
I mean,
they don't.
Their other handler is Alvarado. And you just – that's why I thought they would get swept. I think it's a joke of a finals team. But, you know, he made a couple of shots late in both games one and game two that I think shielded him. But if they lose tonight, the inefficiency storyline is coming full circle. And we're going to owe that Becky Hammon an apology. Knicks fans. Oh, that would be so glorious if it happens tonight. Okay. Thank you, Chief. Rim session. Tip off tonight, 7:30. Rangers pregame's coming up at 6. We'll chat with Sands next here on The Fan.
How We Met Your Mother is the How I Met Your Mother rewatch podcast with me, Josh Radner, and series co-creator Craig Thomas. Follow How We Met Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.